Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from Acts 2, verse 17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Pray. Lord God, we pray for an outpouring of your Spirit, as you did 2,000 years ago. We might be empowered to know you and to tell other people your mighty works, your words in my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the day of Pentecost is the celebration of the outpouring of the Spirit on the church. See, it's the birth of the church. It's from the New Testament church. Fulfillment of what was prophesied in Acts chapter 1. That Jesus said he would pour out his Spirit on the disciples, that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And so what I want us to focus on today, specifically in Pentecost, is that we are all prophets of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so first we have to think about kind of what it means to be a prophet. So maybe you think of someone who tells the future or someone who is like a fortune teller. That's not really it. I know when I was younger, I remember watching all those ads and TV for fortune tellers and stuff, and might have made a couple prank phone calls to them once in a while, because it just was so ridiculous, wasn't it? Sometimes all these silly ads that they can tell your future. It's not really what the goal of us being as prophets like Jesus Christ. It's not what it's about. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of prophets. People that God would send to declare his word. Really, that's probably the simplest explanation of what a prophet is. It's simply someone who declares God's word to the people. The prophet would tell the things of the past and how God had been faithful to them, how he delivered them. Things like the Exodus event. He'd tell them the consequences of when they strayed. And he talked to them about what God was doing in the present, how he called them to repentance, how they, God was working in their hearts, how God was calling them to him. And he talked to them about the future. Not really simply predicting the future, but telling them, this is what will happen if we stay with God. This is what will happen if we go away from God. And we do similar things really today, right? We're reminding people of the past, what God has done in the present, what he's doing in the future, the hope that he promises to us who call on his name. And it might seem kind of weird to be called a prophet, but really someone who's a prophet is one who has the Holy Spirit. Even the book of Acts, sometimes called Acts of the Apostles, it's really better understood as Acts of the Holy Spirit. Nothing really happens in the book of Acts until they receive the Holy Spirit. Then they start to go out and live as witnesses. They move from fear to bold faith in Jesus and going through all sorts of sufferings and strange situations, but God uses them as his tools through which the Holy Spirit brings all these people to know Jesus. So in the day of Pentecost, you have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This actually was a feast that they had celebrated in the Jewish church before this. It was known as Pentecost for us. They actually called the Feast of Weeks. They would celebrate the giving of the law of the Old Covenant on Mount Sinai. It would be a time of renewal for them to commit themselves to teachings of the Old Covenant. See, in the New Testament now, we have the New Covenant, where Jesus doesn't just give us his word, he gives us himself. He gives us his presence and his power in the Holy Spirit. A covenant where we don't have to... It says in Jeremiah 31, you will no longer have to teach your neighbor, saying, know the Lord, but they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, for I'll forgive their sins and remember their wickedness no more. This is the new covenant that Jesus has brought in, writing his law in our hearts and minds through the Spirit, and giving us this new covenant where Jesus seals it with his own blood and makes sure that we live in it through his own Spirit, through his own presence. One thing we might ask is, why would I be a prophet again? Or how could I be a prophet? We simply remember that the promise of the Holy Spirit is for all people. In verse 17 of Acts, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and all people, their sons and daughters, shall prophesy. And so it doesn't have anything to do with us. It has to do with God choosing us and pouring his Spirit on us. Right? And Peter ends his sermon, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's one of the big things in the book of Acts, is that the believers move from this idea that the gospel is just for the Jews, just for the people of Israel, to the whole world, to people from all over are here for this feast, from all over Europe, from all over Asia, Middle East, parts of the Roman Empire. They're there and they come to know the Lord. It's a sign that God's bringing the gospel to all people. And this is who his church is going to be made up of as well. And we don't need to have a Pentecost experience, do we, to know that we have the Holy Spirit? God's already given us that promise through holy baptism. And on it, he literally does pour his Holy Spirit onto us and marks us as his own. And so what does the Spirit do in us? You can kind of think of the imagery that we get to describe the Spirit in our reading, right? There's water in the Gospel reading. It's described as a river of living water, right? That will never run dry, will never run out. Again, if anyone thirsts, this is for anybody, right? Just as we need water to survive, the Spirit is the thing that gives us life, gives us breath of God, literally makes us alive from being dead in our sins to being alive. And God sustains us just as we need to continue to drink water to live. We continually need the Spirit to fill us up, to keep us in the life in Jesus. There's also the imagery we see with the color red of fire, right? It's the Spirit refines. Just as fire burns away all the dross, as the Spirit burns away, defines us of all of our sins, so that we're pure and holy. We can be with Jesus through the forgiveness of sins. And he's continually doing that work in us as well. He's continually transforming us and refining us so that we live in who we have already become in Christ, pure and holy and spotless. And there's one more example of the wind. So you have water, so you have fire, and you have wind, the air, the breath. And it's coming into the day of Pentecost with a mighty rushing wind, powerful, all present. Blows where it pleases. God creates faith where he pleases. Even in John 20, Jesus breathes on his disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit. The breath of God Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel prophesies to the dead bones and they come alive because the breath of God should breathe into them. It's the breath of life, literally, right? Again, another example that we need it to live just as we need oxygen to live. But most importantly is that we can't have this life in Christ without being able to hear His word, right? Without being able to receive holy baptism or to hear His word. And that's what maybe one of the most important things God does through us, through the Holy Spirit, is He enables us to hear His word. If we look at our reading, see how many times they talk about that they were able to hear and not just speak. Verse 6, it says, each one was hearing in his own language. Verse 8 says, how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? In verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. It's like a reversal of the Tower of Babel, where they couldn't really understand each other because they were trying to build a tower for themselves. So God confused their languages and split them up. But now, in these last days, God has united His church through the Holy Spirit. Even though God enables us to hear, there still needs to be that explanation of the word, right? Peter comes up and stands and explains what's happening. So a lot of people will claim they're speaking from the Holy Spirit or speaking in the place of God, but they might be like a false prophet or telling lies, right? So how do we know what's happening is from God? Well, Peter goes back to the word. He goes back to the prophet Joel and how he predicted that this was going to happen. Sometimes people will say, well, the Spirit's leading me to do this, or God's telling me to do this. And we always need to come back, or I had this vision. We always need to be coming back to the word. What does the word of God say? Putting that to the test. So the Spirit allows us to hear God's word. And the Spirit allows us to tell God's word in the gospel. The Spirit came upon the first group of believers, probably the 120 that there were at the beginning. And they started prophesying immediately, started telling the mighty works of God. It says in verse 11, in our own tongues, the mighty works of God. In our own language, being able to hear the gospel of God. There's only countries that don't even have the Bible in their own language. They need someone to come to them to tell them in their own language the mighty works of God. We have it. We have not only the scriptures, easy access to people who can tell us about God so that we can be equipped to tell other people. And again, this is what it means simply to be a prophet. Is that we're equipped to tell people oh God, the word of God, ultimately the word of death and resurrection, Jesus Christ for eternal life. So God sends us His Holy Spirit so that we know, so that we hear His gospel, and so that we tell other people about what He has done. This is who goes with us. It's not just some force. It's not some powerful being. It's the very presence of God, the power of God in us. It goes with us. That's why as we go, we don't boast about what's happening. The apostles wouldn't have boasted about Pentecost. They would have said, oh, yeah, it's happened so that you can all look at us and see how amazing we are. No, let's just come so that God can continue his mission of drawing all people to himself. I was in grade school, I used to maybe get angry when people didn't play me in sports games, right? I was like, oh man, I'm good enough, you know? I shouldn't be getting benched. This doesn't make any sense. Maybe because the coach thought I wasn't good enough. There were other people that were better than I was. But it's crazy that we do that with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We can think, oh, I got this figured out. I know how to do this. And we leave our ace on the bench. When we go and try to live a life of faith or tell people about God and simply rely on ourselves, we end up failing. We end up frustrated, we end up like Pharisee, full of ourselves, or frustrated with our failures. God empowers us and sends us the Holy Spirit precisely so that we can have confidence. He will lead us, equip us with all that we need to tell other people about this wonderful message. If you don't know everything, you can know, tell what you do know. Simply remembering from our message today that everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So remember, as you go on today, go out as a prophet of the Most High God, chosen, filled with His Holy Spirit, to hear and to know Jesus Christ, and then to tell that to the world. In His name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Amen.